Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text, which has already been read. Please be seated. Two women, sisters, and they're sitting in that little room. The one sister, balancing on the edge of the exam table. The other sister in that room, trying to get comfortable in that chair that's off to the side, the one that's deliberately designed not to let you get comfortable. Knock on the door, and the doctor enters, and he has bad news for these women. They both have contracted the same highly contagious disease, and they are terminal. It's a disease that will bring them death. But, the doctor goes on, he has some good news. There's a cure. This disease can be beaten. And he starts to tell the sisters how that can be done. And the woman on the exam table listens intently as the doctor tells them how this terminal disease can be cured. But her sister, the other one, seems distracted. She kind of squirms in that uncomfortable chair, glances out the window as a fire truck passes, and then keeps looking out the window after the fire truck has passed. She gets up, goes to the doctor's diploma wall as if she's looking for something important, and then noticing that certain things in the room are out of order, she starts tidying up, arranging the tape and the pens and the tablets from those pharmaceutical companies on the little desk in the corner. And as the doctor drones on about how to be cured from her incurable, not incurable, but terminal disease, she straightens every picture on the wall once, twice, and as she begins her third round of straightening, she suddenly turns to the doctor and snaps, "Why are you letting my sister just sit there while I do all the work? Don't you care?" So, I see that you all are here today. Why are you here today? You've come to church today. Why? What are you doing here? Just asking, why did you come here today? Now, as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into the, not her, house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You've heard of these two, haven't you? Mary and Martha, along with their brother Lazarus. Mary and Martha are among the FOJ friends of Jesus. The entire 11th chapter of John is devoted to these siblings, particularly to their brother Lazarus, who is at the beginning of John 11 very much dead, but by the end of the chapter is very much alive. And in that 11th chapter of John in here, Martha comes across as that strong Christian woman, the president of the LWL zone, the doer of daily devotions, a spiritual woman. Mary, she comes across as kind of shy and reserved, maybe not so spiritual. One who has maybe had more of a struggle in her Christian walk, and who perhaps loses out to sin more often than most. And now Jesus is a guest of them and of Martha, who flitters feverishly hither and yon, busying herself with the things of entertaining and hospitality, while the guest busies himself teaching Mary about God, and Mary busies herself by learning about God. And what happens next, you've probably seen 100 times. Maybe you've been a part of it yourself. There's a task to be done, and it's the kind of task that can be done by one person, but it's done better and faster with more hands. And almost never, when such a task presents itself, is the work done equally by all those who are involved. Almost always, when that happens, one person will take the lead, buy into the task, go Larry the Cable Guy, and just get her done. Martha is that person. Martha is Larry the Cable Guy. And the rest of the people are working on the task, but not so enthusiastically. They will rest, or they will chat, or they will take a break, or just disappear for long periods of time. And inwardly, the person who is doing more of the work observes that other persons or another person is doing less of the work, if by less of the work you mean nothing at all. Sometimes Larry the Cable Guy is able to keep his mouth shut and just kind of carry on. Yeah, you could have done a lot of other things this morning rather than come here. And I'll bet some of you even thought about doing those other things this morning. But you didn't do those other things. You came here instead. Why? Why did you free people choose to come to church this morning? But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." I remember a time in my life when I came home from work every day, cooked and prepared a full dinner. It was on the table by 5 o'clock, and when everybody came home, the family gathered around the table. We talked about the day, caught up with one another, and then we had most evenings to our leisure. And after the children would go to bed, I would read for enjoyment, or build a city on the computer, or just chill, maybe watch a little bit of TV. Nothing pressing, nothing urgent, almost had time to kill. Lately, not so much. I'm busy, you're busy. We're all busy, aren't we? We're all busy people, dragged in different directions by work, family, social obligations, besides the need to have some downtime. And even downtime has become much more complicated. In 1950, you listened to the radio in the evening. In the 1960s, you watched TV, Channel 4, Channel 6, or Channel 8. Today, the dish gives us, I don't know how many channels we get. And even as we speak, I got about 40 hours of programming on TiVo that TiVo has saved at my command and waiting for me to watch it. How do I wade through all that? A busy guy like me, what do I want to watch now? You're busy too. What about church? What about church on Sunday morning? In the cafeteria of life, my generation is more likely than one before me, I think, to take a pass on the church option. And I'm not sure what the generation that comes after us are going to do. I think even less. We're busy. Many things pulling at us. And that word to refer to Martha, it says that things are pulling her away. That's the word there. And you know what that means. Things are pulling us away from other things. Business, those social events, youth sports coaches schedule practice for Sunday morning because, duh, nothing else is going on Sunday morning, at least nothing important, nothing that can't be skipped. Well, you do want to play, don't you? Yeah, we're pulled in a lot of different directions, like Martha was pulled in a lot of different directions. You know, there's a progression in the way that those things play out. You know how that goes. At first, Martha probably didn't even notice that Mary is not there by her side helping. But then she notices, and she wonders what happened to Mary. And if my sister were here helping me, she could maybe set the table or pour the water or at least stand there and stir the gravy. She could help me out just a little bit. And then Martha notices what Mary is doing. Nothing. She's not doing anything. She's just sitting there listening to Jesus talk about God. And in the kitchen, the slow simmer rises to a boiling. The potatoes are mashed much more thoroughly and aggressively than they need to be. And the sounds of various utensils fill the air as Martha's focus goes to Mary, who's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, doing nothing. Look at her just sitting there doing nothing, just listening to Jesus talk and listen to him. Look at him. Can't he see that I need help? Doesn't he care about me? And finally, you know how that goes. Martha goes, Popeye, that's all she can stand because she can't stand no more. And Martha kind of loses it here. Martha kind of loses it and she chews out the Son of God. And a thorough chewing out it was. It says she got up. She went up and stood over him as one who was in authority. She says to him, therefore, as if it's obvious, you should be helping. And then the second person imperative, you tell her to help, she commands Jesus. That was inappropriate. You shouldn't chew out the Son of God. And you shouldn't order him around like that. Yeah, there are lots of choices out there. You could have slept in. We would have liked to have slept in this morning. Been working out in the yard or eating out. Could have been reading a book or the Sunday paper or just chilling. So why? Out of all the items on that cafeteria of life, did you choose to come to church this morning? So those two women at the doctor's, how about that one who listened carefully as the doctor talked to her about saving her life? And how about the other sister, the one who was distracted, pulled away by such things as fire trucks, mildly crooked pitchers, the one who snapped at the doctor? And the doctor who was trying to tell the sisters how to escape life, death and get life, what do you suppose he said to that woman who snapped at him while he was trying to tell her how he could save her life? What do you suppose he said to her? Well, you're right. The doctor would not have said anything because such a thing would never have happened to the doctor. What I mean is that, you know, when the doctor's telling you how to be cured of a terminal disease, to save your life, we're all ears. We're all ears. But it did happen to Jesus, who is there to tell Martha, as well as Mary, about the spiritual cure, how to escape eternal death and damnation, how to gain eternal life. And when Martha laid that totally inappropriate verbal beat down on him, Jesus could have responded in a lot of different ways. Jesus, the great physician of the soul, proves himself to have many things, one of them being a very good bedside manner. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Yeah, Martha has chosen poorly. Mary has chosen wisely. They both made their choices, which is what Christians do. We make choices all the time, don't we? Form of Concord, they talked about free will. That was an issue in Reformation times. And the Formula of Concord, I think is the second article, talks about free will, our ability to make choices. And it talks about our free will before the fall. We were able to make choices. And Adam and Eve chose poorly. After the fall, which is where we were before we became Christians, we're not able to choose to become alive. We're not able to choose to be born again. Those things don't make sense. But after regeneration, now that we're Christians, we can choose to stay alive or to die. We can choose to come to church or not come to church. And you have chosen wisely. And the fourth state is in heaven. We won't have any choices anymore. There won't be any choices because sin won't be there. And we'll be happy. Martha and Mary made their choices, which is what Christians do. Martha chose to do a lot of stuff. Mary chose to do just one thing, and Jesus calls that one thing the good portion, which shall not be taken from her. And just what then is that good portion, the thing which shall not be taken away from her? Mary and Martha made their choices. You are Christians who have become regenerated in baptism, and you also make your choices in spiritual matters, and you chose this morning to come here. And if you chose to come here this morning because you have a problem with sin and death, that sickness that afflicts us all, and you're looking for a cure, if that's what you're doing here, then you came to the right place. If you came here for a different reason, then you might be disappointed. And that's the reason, by the way, why a lot of people don't go to church. They're disappointed by what's being offered there. This is the place where you're going to find the good portion, which shall not be taken away from you. The way to salvation and eternal life that's offered here in word and sacrament. Here, in this place, you see the sign of the cross, which, according to LSB, may be made in remembrance of your baptism. And of that baptism, Luther speaks of it as a medicine that is so great and effective that he says it's almost unbelievable, that medicine. He says, I get this, for consider, if there were somewhere a physician who understood the art of saving men from dying, or even though they died, of restoring them speedily to life, so that they would thereafter live forever, how the world would pour in money like snow and rain. But here, in baptism, there is brought free to everyone's door such a treasure in medicine as utterly destroys death and preserves all men alive. And if you came here for that, that's here. Here, your ears hear the words of absolution. Like the doctor telling the sick patient how to be cured of a dread disease, the pastor speaks the words of absolution, words from God himself that become a life-giving cure into the ear of the sin-sick patient, proclaiming that it is by the forgiveness of the death-dealing sin that life comes, by the forgiveness of sins that comes in Christ, that's how you get eternal life. And those words from God actually heal us in our souls. And if you came here for that, that's what you get. And here, you receive the sacrament of the altar, which Saint Ignatius called the medicine of immortality. The food and the drink by which we are rendered, he says, immortal, to which some of the ancient refer as the divine blood transfusion. And of this sacrament, Luther says, we must never regard the sacrament as a harmful thing from which we should flee, but as a pure, wholesome, soothing medicine which aids and quickens us both in body and soul, for where the soul is healed, the body has benefited also. So that's what's here. So is that why you're here this morning? Is that why you chose, out of all the things you could be doing, to come here this morning? How about Mary? Why was she at that house? What was she doing? For Mary, it was all about Jesus and nothing but Jesus. And what does Jesus think of that? Well, he says that she has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her. And what is that good portion? The one that will never be taken away from us? That would kind of have to be heaven, wouldn't it? Which comes by belief, which comes by this word and these sacraments, which take away our sins, which get us into heaven, which will never be taken away from us. So, if that's why you're here this morning, looking for that good portion which shall not be taken away from you, then you have indeed come to the right place. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.